There you go. It's 8:15. Jason Bianski joins us this morning. Mayor O'Brien, how are you today?
Good morning, Scott. A little tired.
Stayed up all night
watching the election returns.
Yeah.
Victory speeches and concession speeches all, on national
all that
level.
Kind of stuff. That's it. Tilt that microphone up towards you a little bit more. There we go. Now, is your master's in political stuff or is it in business?
I worked. I have an advanced degree from University of Oklahoma in economic development.
Okay. All right. Because I was going to ask you, do you know why we have elections on Tuesday?
Do I know why we have elections on Tuesday?
Here's the story. Between 1788 and 1845, states decided their own voting dates. Idea kind of resulted in having a crazy quilt when it came to elections all across the country at different times so that they could pick their electors. Well, what happened was on the first Wednesday of December, that was the deadline. They had to have everything done by then. But they passed a law that mandated that state elections be held in a 34-day period before that date. In other words, that Wednesday of the first Wednesday of December. Most of the elections took place in November, and the reason it was November was because the harvest was over and winter hadn't really hit in most of the country. Now, remember, this was another time, so what they decided was, well, they couldn't have the voting on Monday because that meant people had to travel by buggy on Sunday, which was the Sabbath, and they couldn't do it on Wednesday because that was market day and the farmers wouldn't show up. So with that, they decided to make elections on Tuesday. They standardized it in 1845. They passed the law that the presidential elections would be held on the Tuesday after the first Monday in November.
How cool is that?
So there you go.
I had no idea.
Hey, I just confirmed with Jason because we had some questions, and just in case there was anybody out there in the audience who wondered. Now, as it appears now, based on the ballots that are in-house, there are some provisional ballots out there. Chuck Condrilla has been elected to the at-large position. But if that were to change, in other words, if he did not get 50% plus one, there would be a runoff. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So what happens is waiting on those provisional ballots, the military ballots, but right now he has a lead of 158. What is so? Jason, obviously you did watch a lot of that stuff. What's your thought here from the standpoint of, we talked to Bill Flores about what the Republican Party needs to do, and I know that you're kind of a political creature and you enjoy watching this, but your thoughts on what the Republican Party needs to do to maybe make the tent a little bigger?
Well, yeah, involving younger professionals like myself is important, and I think definitely the working with outreach to the minority communities, particularly if you're talking about Texas with the Hispanic families, Hispanic voters. I think Congressman Flores hit the nail on the head when he talked about God and family. It's very important to, as a large number of Catholics as myself, it's very important to us. If you look at their values and their beliefs, most Hispanic families are very conservative in their beliefs. We've got to do a better job as a party in inviting folks to be a part and then working together. And I think we've done a good job in Brazos County. We've got a lot of minorities that are in positions. We've got to do a better job with the numbers and the populations increasing in Texas. I'd reach out to the Hispanic leadership and work with them in our party and let them understand that our beliefs as conservatives are very similar to your beliefs and kind of go from there. And then hopefully on a nationwide basis, that'll help. But, a little bittersweet, I guess, as of last night with,
sure,
with all the returns, but still looking at some of those national races and some of those senatorial races around the states.
You've lived here a long time, and so have I. There was a time when the Hispanic community was smaller, but it was also much more contained in that there were basically it was a group that you knew who you needed to talk to be able to reach out to that group. That has become more diverse. There are more leaders within the Hispanic community, it would seem. How does that make your job different as an elected official now in dealing with really leaders who overall want the Hispanic population to move forward, but maybe in different directions, though, forward?
Well, it is splintered from time to time, and so it does make it difficult from some points. and who you deal with and the different various leaderships. Of course, our Hispanic Republicans here locally have done a great job. I've been an active member and their outreach and what they do for the community and trying to recruit people to their organization. Again, God, family, the worth ethic and all that's involved, very similar in my beliefs and values as a conservative, as a Republican. So I think we need to do a better job of outreach as a party as a whole. You've got some folks that will talk about, there's some conservatives that are too extreme, and so those that are moderates are turned off by it, and so they'll tend to vote the other side or maybe voted for Obama yesterday. So we've got to work together as a party with leadership of Congressman Flores on down and find ways for that outreach as a party, as a community, as a whole, in bringing people to understand that we have similar beliefs and we need to vote those beliefs. Pro-life is very important to the Hispanic families and family and God and again, the worth ethic. So I think it's something we'll have to do as a party. Of course, our races are nonpartisan. So,
right.
But as an active member of the Republican Party, that's something we'll continue to do. So, and like I said, our party locally has done a good job. I was at many, many years ago, in my 20s, I was one of the youngest youngest presidents of our Republican club, and the leadership at that time recognized that we needed to bring in more young members into their organization, and I helped recruit some young members to the Republican club, and they still have a very active membership and a diversified group and of all ages. So I think locally, Paul Rieger has done a wonderful job in our leadership, but we've got to continue with those efforts. And, otherwise, the Republican Party, as we know it in Texas, generation from now may be extinct. So,
We were talking about, after Karl Rove was able to engineer George Bush's first presidential election, there was question that whether or not the Democrat Party would continue to exist. He had marginalized them so much. Now, fast forward to where we are now, and this is a Republican Party that is at a crossroads, at least on a national basis. Speak for a minute, though. Yes, you have a good relationship with the Hispanic community of Bryan, Brazos County in 2012. What is it going to look like in 2014? With 1,000 people a day moving to Texas, they will bring with them their beliefs that may not be what beliefs are today.
Well, again, as a community, as various organizations, we need to all work together, for the betterment of the city of Bryan and the communities that we represent. Again, we'll have to get together and, work with the various organizations for the betterment. Personally, a great relationship. Some of my closest friends are Hispanic and the Catholic faith. So we've got to work together. We've got to make, and I have these debates and arguments with a lot of my friends from time to time, and we start talking about what do you believe in, and we have the same beliefs, but a friend will vote for
they
Obama.
They come from a different direction.
And I voted for Romney. So, right. I mean, it's we have to understand that, these candidates represent your beliefs and your values and your family values, and you need to vote those this particular way. It's not about the government subsidies and everything else that might be of interest to some folks. If they're not utilizing that, it's about everything else that's important to the Republican Party. So, again, we'll rely on our leadership, and they're doing a great job. You've got some fine Hispanic representatives around the country. Mark Rubio has done a wonderful job in mm-hmm. Florida. So, future leader there, I think you'll see in 4 years that the Republican Party has a deep bench. We've got, Representative Ryan. I'd love to have seen him at the top of the ticket. He was my favorite. So, we've got leadership there in the future. We've got to keep it together the next 4 years, work together to support Congressman Flores and our House representatives, and work to slowly change the leadership of the Senate, and then hopefully in 4 years, I hope we're not in worse shape. But if that's the case, I think you'll see, a resetting of the leadership, and everyone will be glad to have a Republican in office. But again, someone that can work with all sides. I think that's what's important. Sometimes we get too extreme to the left, or sometimes too extreme to the right, and we've got to learn to work together, come together in that middle, and have some middle ground and common ground for the betterment of our country.
Yeah.
So I'm
It'll be interesting to watch. I think we got a future presidential candidate in San Antonio right now, though. But you know, we'll see
in
what
4 years
happens there.
If you look at the bench on the Democratic Party,
I think that's
Castro definitely has a great possibility there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could the mayor of Los Angeles. I think you'll probably see him as Secretary of Transportation. I actually had lunch with him many months ago at an organization and met with some of his staff. And they were saying if Obama got reelected that he would possibly be the next Secretary of Transportation.
Yeah. Interesting.
So we'll see how that plays out.
There we go. Well, it's always fun to kind of pick that stuff apart. Let's turn to Brian for just a minute. When can we anticipate getting some sort of a financial report on Texas Res and how that fared for you?
I would think here in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. I think they're finalizing everything at this point. I haven't seen any final numbers yet.
Okay. And then when is Greg Owens seated?
Well, I think we're going to be canvassing votes here on the 19th of November. We've got so many days we've got to wait for the anticipate the military ballots. We're still dealing with the provisional ballots. So we get through, I think, the minimum would be about the 19th that we can canvass votes. And then at that time, probably on the 19th, have the swearing in of all the newly elected officials in Bryan.
Got it. Okay, thanks for being with us this morning.
Hey, thank you, Scott.
You bet. That's Jason Baiansky, the mayor of Bryan, here this morning.